time to show you the stars. Just give a moment as we upload the stars here. Let us relive the first lesson. If God would have pulled off Abraham to the side when he was, say, about 17 and told him, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be." We might think, well, God willing, I'll get married and the Lord will bless me and my wife with many children. It'd be more than doable. It'd be a great promise for sure, but not beyond the realm of possibility. May God bless you when you are married to have offspring as many as the stars too. You can sit down. But that is not when God gave the promise to Abram. Abram was about 99 years old, and his wife Sarah, who was always barren, wasn't able to have children even when they were younger, now she is approaching 90 years old. It is then when God takes Abram off to the side and makes the promise. Now, Pastor Sturm, I know that you're not 100 years old, but come stand next to me. How many years before you turn 100? 23 years. If at that age, say, you and your wife had no children and somebody, even if it was God himself, took you outside and had you look up at the stars and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be." It would seem like make-believe. A nice, what if things were different and we had lots of children? Wouldn't it be nice? Close your eyes and dream the impossible with me. You can almost see a child dancing and the pitter-patter of little feet and the happiness that brings. But you open your eyes to reality. It'd be a hard promise for anybody to believe in, to actually believe. It'd be a hard promise for any of us to believe. And you can either find it laughable or cruel. And there are so many obstacles to the reality of having children at 100, and the longer that you think about it, the more impossible it becomes. Thank you, Pastor Sturm. May God bless your offspring too, and may there be many. You can turn on the lights, please. Abram was given a new name by God. Abraham, which means father of many nations. And Abraham believed God. It was, as it says here, against all hope. Abraham, in hope, believed. It doesn't matter what you see with your eyes. It doesn't matter what you can reason out with your mind. It doesn't matter that it is humanly impossible. What matters then? What matters is God's promise. When God makes a promise, it shall be so. That is the power in his promise. God sees you and me as holy. God sees you and me as righteous. Have you ever thought about how ridiculous that sounds? God is without sin, and we sin much every day. When we look at the law of God, the more we understand it, the more we see the truth of the demands of holiness. As it says earlier in Romans 4, the law brings wrath. You shall not murder. It's a command from God. Jesus said concerning this commandment, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Have you ever been angry at anyone? You shall not commit adultery, was another command. And Jesus said concerning this commandment, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And our culture has gotten to a place where just a few years ago, it was hard to believe that Hardee's sold hamburgers and not women. Maybe women got sick of being portrayed as a piece of meat and they objected to their objectification. But it still continues in our culture. Have you ever looked at someone with lust? Have you ever looked with lust? And there's hatred when it comes to political lines in this country. There is envy over a job promotion of another. The heart covets a little blue ribbon worth pennies when it is given to somebody else. We see the horror and hatred in this world, from high schools to synagogues to churches. And when we take a long, hard look into our own hearts, we see sin there too. The law of God cannot advance us on the way to righteousness. The law brings wrath. You are righteous. Impossible. You are loved by God. Ridiculous. Maybe if I close my eyes and pretend a nice what if things were different. But when I open my eyes to the reality of my sin and God's holiness, I find such statements laughable or cruel. The Heidelberg Disputation says, the person who believes that he can obtain grace by doing what is in him adds sin to sin so that he becomes doubly guilty. We cannot obtain holiness because we are so good. And if we think so, that is sin. We are driven to the reality that we cannot be righteous on our own. We do not humbly plead to God for help when it comes to righteousness. We humbly plead to God for all righteousness. The power in His promise. That is where we must focus, to be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what He has promised. Can you feed 5,000 people with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish? Can you raise a little girl from her deathbed with the words Talitha Kum? I can't, but I know somebody who can. Be holy. The power is not in me. The power is in His promise. And the more impossible it became, the tighter Abraham held on to the promise of God. The realization is that it had nothing to do with him and his abilities. It had nothing to do with Sarah and her abilities to carry a child in the womb. It's got everything to do with the power of His promise. And God calls forth life from death. Ephesians 2. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. And a little bit later it says, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. When you hear the words, you are forgiven of all your sins, it's God's promise that matters. When you partake of the body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, it's God's promise that matters. The verse after our text says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of this is because of Jesus. His blood shed on the cross is a full ransom amount for our iniquity. Jesus was raised to life for our justification. His resurrection is proof. You are righteous. You are loved by God. That is the power in His promise. Heidelberg Disputation 26. The law says, do this, and it is never done. Grace says, believe this, and everything is done already. The children of Abraham, do not waver through unbelief when we see our unworthiness for righteousness. It is humanly impossible to be holy and have peace with God, but the power is in His promise. Because God makes a promise, a covenant with you, and says, you are righteous. then you are righteous. Because God says you are loved by God, you are loved by God. The promise is fulfilled in Christ, and therefore, those who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior are holy in His sight. Heaven is open to you. Peace with God now and for eternity is open to you. Against all hope, in hope, believe. Amen.